Paradise Vibes only.
Welcome into another edition of the Paradise Vibes Only podcast, or PVO Pod for short. We are brought to you this week by the DBHRDerby.com. That's the Don't Blink Home Run Derby.com. Check it out. Todd and Lucius's Home Run Derby down in the Bahamas every winter. We talk about it a lot, but I don't think we're going to talk about it on this edition because we're going to shift the discussion a little bit. We'll talk baseball, as always, but we're going to talk some NFL football because joining the show this week, Courtland Sutton, wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, entering his third year in the NFL. And I guess more importantly for this podcast, workout partner with Todd in the offseason. They get to know each other a little bit working out down in Florida. Courtland, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Appreciate y'all having me on here, man. You know, Todd, me and Todd got to, you know, work out for a few weeks together and she was built a relationship, but that's, man, that's when you got people that you could tell you got good energy and good vibes about people. And Todd, one of them people, and, you know, me and Todd got to meet Anthony, you know, and just, you know, just like the vibe.
Hey, he beat you guys to the Bahamas. Me and Lucius knew you guys for so long, and I knew Courtland for a few weeks, and he beat you to the Bahamas already. How does that work? Please, Tim, we need you to speak on behalf of you and Raps. How does that work?
I got nothing. It was an epic fail by me and Raz. That's all I got. We didn't make it. We'll try again this year. Hopefully everything's a lot better come January, and we can get down there this year for sure.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Courtland, 72 catches last year, over 1,100 yards. You blew up for the Broncos. Just talk about, I guess, before we jump into, we'll go baseball, we'll go football, but just talk about what it's been like here these 2 years in the NFL so far, coming out, you know, out of SMU, kind of a lesser-known college program, and what you've been able to do in Denver.
You know, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a fun journey. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I'm thinking I'm just getting to go live out my dream and one of my dreams, and you know, I'm gonna take the most advantage of it as I possibly can. And you know, rookie year was fun. Had a lot of learning curves and a lot of things I got to learn and build on. And then had a fun off season, and then came back this past year and was able to put together you know, nice numbers for myself. But you know, ultimately in team sports, you know, winning that championship is where you want to be. And you know, watching a team in your division win the Super Bowl, it kind of it put a different fire in you when you see something like that happen. So, finishing my second year, it was a lot of fun. I'm really starting to realize, you know, that in division rivalry that you kind of build up between those teams that's in your division, playing against the Chargers and the Raiders, Chargers, Raiders, Chiefs every year, twice a year. You know, you kind of build up this Now, I won't say hatred. Hatred is like a strong word, but a strong dislike to them boys, you know? It's a real strong dislike because, you see them boys twice a year. You know that, you know, they got – after the second time you roll around, they got film on you. You know, either if you go to – when you go to their home field, their fans are, you know, who they are. And so, shoes, it's – you build up that animosity amongst them boys. You don't really know how to put it, you know. You just know that, dang, like facts, it's exactly what it is. You just want to beat them boys. Exactly. So yeah, finishing my second year has been fun. I'm looking forward to year three, only because I feel like it's not only gonna be bigger and better things for myself, but you know, the team is looking dangerous. Like the Broncos are on the lookout, and I know the league is on watch for sure.
Yeah, certainly. You guys won 4 out of your last 5 last year, finished 7-9, missed the playoffs, but that's what you want. And second-year quarterback in Drew Locke came a long way. What's it like working with that guy? You know, you're a young player yourself, and then you have the young quarterback to kind of develop alongside.
You know, it's cool. It's cool to be able to watch and have somebody close to your draft class. You know, I didn't have a quarterback in my draft class, but we did, you know, having Drew – 1 year removed from my year, it's cool to be able to watch him grow and develop, you know, just from the day he got in and OTAs to training camp to watching him and preseason games. And then when he finally got his chance to go out there and play, it was cool to watch all the progress that, you know, he had and seeing him, you know, grow, develop, and ultimately wanting to learn to be the best QB he can be. I don't know if you guys see it, have seen or not, but you know he's out here talking to Peyton Manning, trying to get as much knowledge as he can off of him. And I mean, that's one of the best of the best to touch a football, to play that quarterback position. So to be able to see him, a young dude who just finished his rookie year, reaching out to somebody like Peyton Manning, asking for tips and advice on, you know, how to become a better quarterback, you know, that shows a lot of promise. And, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody that follows the Broncos looks at that and, you know, has a good energy, a good vibe about the season. Just seeing that, you know, the guy who's going to be taking the ball from under center is out here trying to, you know, better himself to help the team. You feel me?
You guys have a young group, bro. It's gonna come together good for you guys, bro. But I like your pick this year in the first round, Jerry Jeudy. I don't know if you got to see him play any, but how you think that, you know, he'll help you? You know, you had a good year this year. Obviously, he'll take, you know, some of the heat off you. But how you think that he'll help the offense?
Right. You know, I think himself, and then also we got another guy early, KJ Hamler from Penn State. Both of them boys. First and second round picks, you know, in the same room. That I think we have 13 receivers in our room right now, which is crazy. But we, you know, both of those dudes, I think they're going to be able to come in and they add a different dynamic to, you know, the offense. You know, you add, when you speed kills, I'm pretty sure in every sport, you know, when you got speed, it makes up for a lot of different things. So when you put speed on the field and you stretch the field out, you know, it eliminates double teams. It eliminates, you know, the opportunity for defenses to try to, you know, put a blanket or a band-aid on a soft spot of their defense. It makes you kind of go straight up, head up. A lot of times makes teams play their defense to the, you know, to the T. You can't cheat it to a certain specific person. You kind of have to play it straight up because there's so many weapons on the field. So, you know, Jeudy and KJ Hamler and, you know, those guys, and then adding, you know, Melvin Gordon, and we got drafted a tight end, you know, having all of these weapons and us being so young, it's scary. It's scary, honestly. I think a lot of people are taking notice because, you know, this past season, even though we did finish 7-9, we lost four games by, you know, less than one possession. So we see something like that. It shows, you know, how close we are. And then you see all the pieces that we add with Jeudy and them boys in our room. You know, it's a promise in sight, for sure.
For sure, bro. For sure. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do, bro. Definitely excited.
Hey, you know, I I'm picking you with my first pick in the fantasy, bro. 100%.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Cortland Sutton before anyone, not because of what you do, bro. Because I know you, you're my friend, and I know you can score us a lot of points on fantasy this year.
Yes, but, sir. We're about to, hey, taking it up.
Hell yeah, I haven't won fantasy in 2 years. I need to win this year. I have to. But, you know, talking about that, you know, the last guy we had on, Lucius asked him to tell him his story. You know, it was someone that was close to us, like, you know, someone that kind of had a relationship like you and I have. And I just remember you telling me your story about coming from a small town in Texas. And I, what I want to ask is for you to tell that story to our listeners, because I feel like they appreciate that. It's a kind of similar story to both Lucius and I, coming from a small country that, you know, it's not very much going on, and you have to beat the odds. So, you know, I'd love for you to tell your story coming from Texas and everything that got you to the NFL.
Of course, man. You know, my story is, it starts in a small town called Brenham, Texas. It's in between Houston and Austin for everybody who's not very, you know, familiar to the state. But it's a small town. I think it's 15,000 people is the population. I don't even think that's the right number, but they say that's what it is. You know, I grew up playing football, basketball, baseball. I ran track. I did all of those sports pretty much all through high school. Was blessed enough to get a scholarship to play football at SMU in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, went there. Redshirted my first year. I actually had an injury redshirt. I had a fracture in my back, which is crazy. A lot of people don't even know that. I had a fracture in my back coming my first year in college, and I came into college playing safety. Right.
Wow, bro.
Right.
Wow, bro.
Right. All them dropbacks, you know, all the angles, all of that stuff. It all correlates. But yeah, man, I came into college as a safety. I hurt my back. had new coaches come in, and right before they came in, I got switched to receiver kind of, but I still didn't have much film at receiver. Was able to play receiver, had a pretty good career at SMU. I always tell people, one thing I was told was leave something better than how you find it. And I feel like we were able to, myself and the class that I came in with and the class underneath us, we were able to leave SMU better than how we found it. And ultimately now, they're in contention to, be nationally recognized every year, which is amazing to see that from your alma mater. It's dope. But went to SMU, had a dope career there, and then was blessed enough to be able to get drafted by the Broncos in the second round, the 40th pick in 2018, which was, man, like, you want to talk about, like, life-changing, and then, like, a moment that it seems like everything just, like, freezes in time, and you're just there with everybody, all your family, all your friends. It's just, like, I have that moment, like, photographed in my head just because it's such a, like, you work, from Little League to, Little League is, like, you want to get to varsity high school football, and in Texas, for y'all that don't know, it's Texas high school football is a huge thing. Like, it's like its own atmosphere, its own like element. Like being able to play in that atmosphere is
selling out the Cowboy Stadium, bro. So that's right, like, bro. Playing in the NFL from high school, bro. That's crazy.
So y'all getting to be lit. I think I seen something on Instagram with a Texas high school football game, bro, and it was crazy.
Packed. It was right.
And high school, bro. High school.
Right. And so it's like that. And so growing up and being a part of that, you really see, how I don't know, like there's like a love for the game that's different that you just build from being a part of that, being able to play in that environment. It's dope. And so being able to transition and understand that, there's so many different steps that were taken to get to that point of draft day, from the 5 o'clock high school runs and all the tour days, all of that.
I'm playing three sports.
Right. And playing three sports, you do that. And then you go to college and you got, you're on your own for the first time where you have to learn how to manage schoolwork. Yeah. Learn how to manage, being a college student, but everybody, when you're in college, there's so much that you want to experience on your own for the first time. You're out here living your dream, playing at a college level, no matter the division, but being able to do that. And you got you got summer workouts, winter workouts, you have, all of this stuff that takes to get to, that you have to discipline yourself to be able to, maximize. And it's a small window. And that's, I think that's one thing that I was always told, and I try to pass on to other people, is, that window that we get to maximize this athletic ability that we've been gifted, it's a small window. Your body, after time is undefeated to everybody. At some point, time's going to catch up to you. So you got a window that you have to maximize. And I feel like that was one thing that I really focused on in college, was maximizing that time and understanding that, if I do everything I'm supposed to do in terms of taking care of myself, on the field, off the field, building myself up, becoming a better person, a better man, it will ultimately transpire into, the whole aspect of, football, off the field, everything, right? So, it goes into that, and then you build into the point where you get drafted. And then there was like a switch. There was like a switch that clicked for me, and it was like, all right, your dream has been realized, I've been drafted, and I have the opportunity to go chase this dream. Then you turn it until you flip that switch and you say, all right, boom, that chapter of my life is closed. I got to open this next book. And that's not the end. That's just the beginning of this next book that you write, and you look at it and you say, all right, everything that I did to be successful, to get me to this point, I got to do that times two. I got to do that times whatever, to be able to continue to maximize that, to continue to grow and to realize out your dream to the fullest. For some people, they are okay with just, okay, I made it to the NFL, I made it to the pros at whatever level. They're okay with just being like getting to that level. But I feel like when you realize your dream and you're able to get to your point where you're living your dream, maximizing that joint to the fullest potential is like, it's like a no-brainer almost. It's like, why would you waste any of this time that you have? Because it's not guaranteed to none of us, you know. At the end of the day, you know, you could wake up tomorrow and it'd be gone from you. But, you know, if you went to sleep with no regret saying, I left everything I had, you know, for the game there, you know, you can walk away from it. But if you're not, you know, taking that full advantage of the opportunity, you know, you have that regret of, dang, I wish I would have did this a little bit different. Or I wish I would have took, you know, my rookie year a little bit more serious. I wish I would have took this a little bit more serious. But at that point, that time has passed and you missed that. So being in the present, understanding, you know, this is the time that I have to take advantage of this. Let me go ahead and do that. And being able to realize that and recognize that and have good like-minded people around me to help me stay focused to that dream is amazing. And it's you know, it's a blessing. I know I keep saying it, but it's a blessing to be in the position that I'm in. And I'm just grateful that I'm able to be in it. And, you know, I continue to try to maximize every day, you know, every day that I wake up with this blessing, I try to maximize that joint.
That's awesome, bro. That's such an incredible story for so many, because, you know, there's a lot of little kids back home that's probably looking up to you and want to be you. You know, and I was you one day. That was you looking up to guys on TV saying, I want to be like this guy. But no, and yet, where are you from? That's you. So I feel like it's our responsibility. It's coming from, you know, small countries, small towns to, you know, pave the way for everyone coming behind us. I feel like you do a hell of a job doing that. And it's incredible to hear your story. It's real, real exciting, real humbling. And, you know, a lot of people appreciate that. But, you know, you said you talked about when the flip switched for you. When did you know that, you know, you could play in the NFL one day? Like, for me, it was probably when I was 8 years old. You know, they had a camp here in the Bahamas. And I was playing on a big field. Lucius was at this camp as well. And there was this kid that was in high school in the States that was a lot older than I am. And he's playing on that smaller field. And I just remember him hitting a ball to shortstop. I was playing shortstop at the time, which is, this is how you know, it was a very long time ago, because I haven't played shortstop in forever. I just remember, like, closing my eyes and diving for the ball and catching it. And I think that play right there is when I knew I'd be playing baseball for a long time. And I'm sure Lucius has a similar story to that, when he knew he'd be playing baseball for a very long time. So I'd love to hear what was yours growing up.
Man, I think growing up, my parents always were like heavy on me with having like an alternative dream. Like, they were like, you know, sports will be sports, but we want you to have another dream just in case it doesn't work out, because the percentage is small. So they were like, you know, you can chase this and we'll support you 1,000% on your chase to, you know, of this dream. However, we want you to understand, you know, that you like to understand the numbers and also have other things other than just sports to, you know, identify yourself with. So being able to have them there as that support, you know, it was nice. I got to, you know, branch out into my ideas. So, you know, honestly, there were, I think, growing up playing the different sports, it was, I didn't honestly think football was going to be my sport, to be honest with you. I honestly didn't think it would be. I knew that, you know, athletic, like physically, I was gifted to play football. But I also felt like I was gifted to play basketball and baseball too, you know? And growing up, baseball was my first love. It wasn't football. It wasn't basketball. You know, baseball was the first thing I played. My dad, you know, when I was six, he put me in T-ball. My first team was the Yankees. That became my favorite team ever. and I didn't look back, man. I played ball all the way to my senior year. You know, I played it in the summers when I could. If I wasn't playing basketball or at a football camp, you know, I was playing on, you know, AAU team, on tournament teams, and it was so much fun, man. Baseball was that sport for me. I don't think I started realizing I could do something with football until maybe when I first started getting scholarship offers. I was like, all right, this, like, getting the recognition, you know, like showing that, all right, boom, like, you can compete with guys, you're getting, you know, some type of recognition at your sport. When that happened, I was like, all right, boom, okay, I can compete, I can hold my own, and let's see where this goes. And then when I got to college, I actually had a oh shit moment that wasn't so much a I realized I can play. It was like a kind of like a humbling moment. I had went, and this is hilarious. I had went to the field, to the weight room for the first time, and I was going down and I saw this guy who was like a red shirt junior, bro. He ended up working out. Dude was like 6'3", 220, like everything, bro. And everybody was like, yeah, bro, that's the starting safety. I said, well, I don't think I'm supposed to be playing there. Bro, man, it was hilarious, man. I seen him down there. I was like, there's no way I'm about to play, bro. If that's the starting safety, it's just not going to happen. Man. But shoot, after that, you know, I had a receivers coach that was there before the first coaches left. And, you know, he challenged me to, you know, push myself. He was like, bro, you can go over there and, you know, make this play, make that. You can do this, you know, just believe in yourself, have the confidence. And I just started, you know, going out and just having fun. Like, I would play as if I was, you know, in the backyard with my boys on at recess, you know, just being out there and just if the ball was in the air, just having the mentality like, all right, boom, I'm going to go make this play. And when I started doing that, you know, people started noticing it. And next thing you know, the first play of my second coach's tenure at SMU, we throw a deep ball to me. We're playing against Baylor, who was ranked at the time. This one, Baylor was smacking everybody. I wound up catching a deep touchdown on them boys. First play of the game, bro. And it was like, it was such like,
was a good
emotions,
feeling, bro.
Right. It was just like all these emotions hit at once, man. I was just like, bro, I could, because this was against a guy who was like people were saying, oh, he's going to go first round, the first round corner. I was a redshirt freshman. I'm like, bet, this is a challenge. I'm excited for this. And then when I was able to go out and have that game, I was like, bet, you know, let's do this. You know, I can compete with these boys. So, yeah, but I think that was my thing. I think once I got to college, I think it was, I made a couple plays and, you know, I realized I was like, I can do this, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of when you get the swag, you kind of like know that you belong to.
Right.
Like you know that the rest is history after that.
It's crazy. It's crazy you said that, bro, because I felt the same way when I first went to high school in Florida, bro. Coming from the Bahamas, you know, the island is very small. So me and Todd, like, we was the best players. So we had no competition on the island. So it was like a humbling experience for us too, going to American Heritage and seeing guys like seniors at the time, you know, struggling to get D1 offers, and they were way bigger and stronger than us. You know what I mean? So I looked at them and I was like, man, I don't know how I'm gonna go D1. if these guys struggling to go D1, I don't know how I'm gonna go D1. But it's crazy how over the years, you know, you just close that gap, and it happened so fast. You know, it took me my 10th grade year. So this happened when I was in 8th grade, and my 10th grade year, I got my first D1 offer. But
and the crazy thing about Lucius saying that is, his freshman year of high school, because my sophomore year of high school, we made it to state finals. If he was playing second base for our team at the time, we'd have been state champions. But the game he was supposed to start his freshman year, he got pink eye. How does that happen? Like, the coach texted him that day and was like, you're starting second base today. We have like 3 games left before the playoffs. And he would have been starting the rest of the year, and I promise you we would have won the state championship.
So I would have farted on a pillow.
I still don't know how I got that, bro.
For real.
So the thing about it is I'm waking up. Like, I'm happy. I'm starting the day, you know, varsity, first game, you know, we're playing a good team. And when I go to wake up, my eyes don't want to open. Like, I'm trying to, like, open my eyes, bro. But, you know, when you're a pink eye, like, it's stuck. So I can't open my eyes. So I finally get it open, and I see it's red, bro. So I'm like, all right, hopefully that'll just go away. So I like, wash my face, go to school. First period, bro, itching. I go back to the bathroom, bro. Blood red, bro. So I end up going to the nurse, and she's like, oh, you got to go home. Broke my heart, bro. Broke my heart, bro. But, yeah, bro, I was like, man, if these guys can't go D1, bro, I'm in trouble. But, yeah, bro, it's crazy you went through, like, a similar situation, bro. And, like, talking to Todd, you know, I talked to him every day, and he just told me about you, you know, when we first met you. And I went to XB, like, 3 times, but you never showed up, bro. I was trying to meet you. But, yeah, bro, he told me, you know, you're a good guy, and, bro, just happy to see all the success you had so far, bro. And, you know, we're just going to keep following your career, bro. Hopefully you can go to the Pro Bowl, like, 20 times, bro. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Win a few Super Bowls and stuff, bro.
Much love, bro. Much love. And, I know that y'all boys chasing the same dream, you feel me? And we're going to all be there. We're going to all get to celebrate together, you feel me? And it's one thing that I firmly believe in. I'm a faith-driven person, man. I feel like, you know, God blessed me to be able to be in different positions of my life for reasons. And, you know, I thank him for that. But, you know, in God's timing, I always tell people, God's timing, everything happened for a reason. We might not agree with the timing, you feel me? But when the timing do happen, it always happens at the right time. You feel
and
me?
When it rains, it pours.
It pours.
And a lot of people don't understand that it's like you go through things because when it comes to you, you have to be prepared for it. Like you,
right.
It's no once it starts, it doesn't stop. It does. It honestly doesn't stop. And a lot of people don't get that is that you have to go through that process. Like. My process is different from Lucius's process. His process is different from yours. So it's like you have to experience that process. And when you're ready, God's going to give it to you. And you have to take it and run with it. You cannot be like, this is too much for me. No.
Exactly. That's huge, bro.
Yeah. So one thing all you guys are dealing with right now is obviously in some way or another, this shutdown because of obviously this terrible COVID-19 that everybody's dealing with. It's a little different for you, Cortland, than these guys. They're supposed to be in their seasons right now and just kind of waiting and seeing. And we'll get into that a little bit. But from an NFL perspective, so far, it's kind of been business as usual. The draft went off and all of that. But now you're getting into the point where you're supposed to be in these voluntary workouts. And I guess it's virtual, right? So I'd love to hear what you're doing right now because you can't get out and practice with the teammates and these OTAs or anything. But everybody talks about the virtual offseason for the NFL. So what exactly does that mean for you?
So right now we have meetings Monday through Thursday from – I guess if you do mountain time, it's from 9 to like 11:30. So my time is 11:30 to 1. I mean 11 to 1:30. But pretty much we have meetings, and for our specific case, we have a whole new offensive coordinator. So we're learning a brand new offense. So we've been in meetings, grinding through that. It's actually been beneficial for us during this time because if we didn't have a new offense, we would kind of just be teaching the young guys the old offense and then kind of just watching film. It would be different for us, but since we have a whole new offense to learn, we're all diving into that, taking advantage of that. And then everybody's kind of working out on their own. It's kind of like a responsibility that they kind of put on. They kind of put it on you, but you kind of absorb that responsibility as yourself because they say, you know, act like a pro pretty much. Like, don't show up here and be out of shape and you not have been taking care of yourself because, I mean, it's not going to be good for you in any aspect. But other than that, I mean, it's pretty much it. We watch film, we go over plays, learn the offense, and then the weightlifting part and the rest of the football part is, you know, everybody's kind of having to figure it out on their own, but it's been interesting for sure.
So what are you doing to lift weights? Do you have a gym you can get to, or are you like lifting milk bottles in the kitchen?
Man, I've seen some of my teammates get creative with some of this weightlifting stuff, but I was you know, lucky enough to be able, I'm staying with my girlfriend's at her parents' house in Atlanta here, and her dad had some gym equipment, and we turned this little back room into a little gym, and so I've been back there grinding, and then I had this gym I go to get some running in, some side to side, you know, the footwork stuff, some of that stuff that's going, you know, maybe you wanted a little bit of that on the field.
What's up, bro?
I need that. Hey, right. Jeez.
Bro, but I got a question, bro. What is it like? I mean, like, obviously, I love watching football, bro, man. Like, but I don't understand what it's like after a game, like, how your body feels. Obviously, the fans, there's cheering and stuff like that, but y'all doing all the work and getting hit and got to get up and run this route. The ball might not come to you, right? Bro, like, how do you feel after a football game or after, like, I mean, after a football game and then after the season, bro, I'm sure your body, you know.
Man, so after a game, it's funny you said my girlfriend, we was actually talking about it, she was like, it's crazy because so many people don't understand, like, they don't see that, you know, when lights go off and we done with the game, what happens after that? And she was like, all the nights that, you know, you get in the bed, you'd be like, I always say, like, man, my body feel crazy because, like, when I'm on the field, I'm giving everything I got, everything. Block from blocking to if I catch the ball, I'm gonna try to carry as many people as far as I can. Like, I'm doing everything I possibly can. Like, I, like I'll be like, I handle the consequences after the game with my body, you know, because I'm just like in the moment. I want to do everything I possibly can to, you know, help the team win. But yeah, bro, I ain't gonna lie, after the games, man, I go home, I lay in bed, bro. And some games, like my body is like it's like you got hit by a truck almost, like you, because there's some games you get like, you go through it some games, bro. Right. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Some games you get hit, and sometimes you can avoid it. Sometimes you can avoid it. Sometimes you can't. And you know, some of those joints you can't avoid. You kind of gotta just, you absorb that joint and just, you know, you try to get. I don't know, take the less forces possible. But, yeah. But and then after the season, bro, I ain't gonna lie to you. All I want to do is sleep. That's all I want. I want to rest. I cut off all my alarms. I get the blackout curtains. And I'm sleeping. Don't call me. Nothing. I'm sleeping. And if I wake up early, I'm going to go back to sleep. That's all I need to. That's all I want to do is sleep. What? For y'all boys. So look, so let me ask y'all, what about y'all? Like, how is it for y'all, you know? And from the beginning, like, let's say from high school to where you are now, how's that process been? Because, you know, been a true baseball fan and lover, you know, I love to hear that part of the, you know, that background.
Bro, like you said, man, it's been a blessing, you know what I mean? I don't take it for granted, you know, since I started playing and getting an opportunity to attend high school in Florida, and, you know, not much people got that opportunity, so, you know, I was blessed then too. To put me in this position, you know, getting in front of scouts and, you know, playing in front of D1 coaches and stuff like that. But, you know, getting into the minor leagues, bro, was special. But, you know, people could tell you all the time, you know, about the minor leagues, but until you get in it, you won't understand it, bro. But, you know, like they said, you got to go through it. You have to go through it. It makes the journey is, you know, so that much better. It'll make it worth it. You know what I mean? Like, you have these long bus rides, 13 hours in the lower minor leagues. You eating, like, PB&J, bro, like, turkey sandwiches before the game. Or, you know, just trying to eat a fruit. Just anything you could put in your body. But then once you climb the ladder, like, I was blessed to play in AA and AAA this past season. And then food got way better, bro, like steak and shrimp. And we started only driving, right, we started only driving 3 hours on the bus and now taking flights. So, you know, you got to go through the little rough patch early on, but it gets better. But, you know, I never played in the major leagues, but I just hearing stories from my friends, bro, and it's crazy. That's all, like, he said that, bro, whatever anyone tell you is 10 times better, bro. So it's been a long journey, bro, but we still grinding it out. But hopefully I can tell you about the major leagues next time we talk. I can tell you about the major leagues, bro.
Well, the physicality too is, it's different. Like the NFL, it's obviously that it's you're getting hit, like you said, Cortland, and it's, you know, it's 60 minutes of just, you know, getting hit and getting up and getting hit, getting up. Baseball, it's the grind, right, guys? It's the 162 games and having to get up every day and play another game, right, Todd?
Yeah, the thing is, the crazy thing about it is, my first year in pro ball, they would always say, okay, if you have 600 at-bats in a year, you have to find a way to pace yourself for that 600. So you have 200 where you're going to be in a zone and get yours. Like, you're going to be on fire for 200 at-bats. You're going to play the best baseball of your life. And then you're going to have 200 at-bats where you think you should be doing something else with your life. But it's the middle 200 where you have to, like, really grind it out and figure it out. Like, those are the 200 that really counts. So, like, for instance, like, watching the Michael Jordan documentary, although he started in AA, he only played one season. And for him to hit 200 is incredible because it's so hard to play the game. So his 200... although it's 200, at some point, he probably looked like the best baseball player in the world. And I say that to say, if he had played longer, baseball is one of the sports where the only way you're going to get better is if you just continue to wrap it out. And I think that's why we play so many games, because that bats really do matter. That's the only way for you to get better. And for me right now, if baseball was going on right now, I feel I'd have the best year of my career, because everything the past six seasons has got me to this point, to where now I know the player I am. I know my role. I know I know my strengths exactly. I know my weaknesses. I know what I need to do to help a team win. And I guess you could compare that to college for you. Although college is only 3 years, and those 3 years, it's like your first year you get there, it's like, I never lifted weights properly. I never did this properly. Then you start to learn, and then by your junior year, it's like, bro, this is my place. This is my house. So, like, for us, I feel that, you know, as you go through the years, some players get it a lot quicker than others. And, you know, it just makes you playing so many games that you just learn to love the process. And I feel that a lot of players get weeded out quickly because they don't enjoy the process. They don't learn the process, and they don't know how to build a routine that's sustainable for 162 games. So, you know, playing that amount of games, it takes a toll on your body. But one thing I could say about Lucius and I is from when I met Lucius when I was 9 years old, we haven't started working yet. Like, he just was telling me yesterday because he thinks that he's going to beat me running one day. Like, we're going to race for charity soon. And he's convinced that he's going to beat me. But
hey, I'm coming to y'all turf at XPE.
But the thing is, what I tell him is, what he was saying yesterday when I was talking to him on the phone, he's like, oh, my trainer's been asking me, do you think you could beat Todd today? And I was telling him, like, that I'm very humbled that he's thinking about me when he's training. Because although I'm not right there with him, I'm pushing him every single day. And I just say that for all our listeners because, you know, working is something that we never shied away from, which I'm sure is the same from you from where you come from, playing three sports. You know, that's tough. I can imagine doing that, going from basketball to football football to basketball to baseball, and then having to do all three in the summer, that's insane. So that's just goes to show you that, you know, you never shied away from the work. And, you know, that's one thing about the minor leagues. You have to be able to find something in your brain, your heart, and your soul to work.
Bro, it's just super mental, bro. It's super mental. The minor leagues is just, the game of baseball is basically 90% mental, 10% physical. The grind is, like, mental too, bro. You just have to, like, bro, it takes a lot. You know what I mean? Like, different strokes for different folks, different things, you know, work for different guys. You know what I mean? But once you got the right mentality, bro, you'll be all right.
And I feel that's what makes Jordan so special, because he knew what he could do. He knew what the work he would be able to achieve it. And he did it. Hitting 200 in AA. Come on, from being a best player in basketball to playing baseball. That's not even like you going to play, like, you know, you're going to run track or, like, it's not a sport that doesn't require you to hit a round.
Right, that's
round
right.
Like, I feel that if he chose another sport, he would have done a lot better than he did in baseball, although he did really well.
One difference between, obviously, get the path to the NFL versus the path to the major leagues is the minor leagues, and it's certainly been a tough time. Obviously, you guys are dealing with it, Lou and Todd, but I wanted to get in a little news of the day, too, and get your take, Cortland, as a guy that's in another sport watching what's going on. But the A's were a team today that announced that they're going to stop paying their minor leaguers at the end of this month. Basically, they were paying them like $400 a week just to kind of get by through May 31st. That's going to stop. And they said basically that somebody's figured out the money. It would have cost them $1.4 million to keep going and pay them the rest of the way. So it's a tough go. And then obviously at the major league level, new proposal today that a player in baseball that was going to make $1 million, if this current proposal was to go through, would make like $434,000. Even a guy that's was going to make $35 million, like, you know, Mike Trout's of the world, would make $8 million. So serious pay cuts that I know at this point, Cortland, isn't happening, you know, in the NFL. Who knows if as we get closer, there may be some negotiations, but it seems like that's not going to be the case. But as an NFL player, you see what's happening with some other sports like baseball. Do you talk about that with other guys? I mean, obviously you guys are talking on this podcast, but is that something that goes around between pro athletes? Like, man, baseball, it's tough right now. What's happening to those guys?
Yeah, you know, I think we all follow each other. I mean, when a professional athlete is a professional athlete in any sport, you know, when you get to that level, you know, you are elite of elite at the sport that you play. And so, you know, you watch and respect. And I also am a sports lover, just so I'm gonna watch and just and analyze. But yeah, you kind of pay attention because you kind of want to be able to reference some of the stuff that's going on. to your sport. So, for instance, you know, soccer overseas has started back up in some places. And so you see something like that, you hear about something like that, and you're like, all right, there's, you have that optimism, you know, that, you know, something positive could happen and they'll figure something out. And then for myself, I also look at it as you look at the optimism, and then you also have to, you got to play both ends. You got to be like, all right. And my agent has been helping me with this other side. He was like, you got to look at it as the possibility of not having a season. You know, he was like, you can't ignore that. You know, you have to at least acknowledge that and respect that there's a possibility of not having a season. And then the other spectrum of that is, you know, possibly having a season. And then it goes into the deeper parts of it, of, you know, would there be fans there? If they do have fans there, how many will they have? You know, where will they sit? How will they encounter with us? You know, all of these different things that, you know, everybody is trying to figure out. And I think it's interesting. And, you know, I hope, I pray, I hope that, you know, we're able to figure something out for everybody's sport. You know, basketball, their season abruptly coming to an end and them not being able to finish out a season. I know that's very upsetting for them. And then baseball, obviously, being held up, you know, and I know all y'all boys want to do is go play baseball. That's all y'all want to do is go play ball. I'm pretty, if our season was supposed to start right now, you know, that's all we'll be talking about is how we want to go play ball. So, you know, I follow it and you know, I stay optimistic that, you know, they'll figure something out. You know, I heard about the whole Arizona thing. Y'all boys might know a little bit more about that than I do, but everybody's saying that baseball might come back to Arizona. What y'all hearing about that?
Bro, it's so many rumors and stuff out there, bro. Like, everybody trying to play reporter, bro.
Everybody is a reporter right now.
Right, literally. So you don't really know what's the truth, you know what I mean? So I'm just trying to, like, stay away from that kind of stuff and just try to wait for the official report, you know what I mean? But also staying ready, like, working out at least four times a week, just whenever the call comes, you know, you don't want to be caught slipping, you know what I'm saying?
And Lou, you haven't heard that. That was the A's that I mentioned that are going to stop paying at the end of May. But you haven't heard that from the Rays.
No, not as yet. Usually they make calls on Thursday and Fridays, so I'll have more information later this week. But so far, they haven't reached out to any of us telling us their plan moving forward.
All right, I got one more for you, Cortland, and back to getting ready for a season and getting back to playing football, which is a physical sport, obviously. Is there fear? Is there, you know, what enters your mind about the actual COVID-19 and the possibilities of getting it in a return to football? Is that on your mind? I mean, it has to be on your mind, but is it a fear or is it something that you just kind of accept that is some sort of a risk?
I think there's two parts to that. I think one, I do think that the teams and the league will do everything possible in terms of screening to keep the players and everybody that's involved as safe as possible. I do think that's a big thing that they're going to do. And then the other part, the fear, not so much. There was a bug, which this is actually hilarious. But it's actually interesting we're talking about it. But we had a little bug that hit our locker room this past season, and it hit one of us, and then it hit four of us, and then you had 10 boys that was sick, two that couldn't practice. You know, we had this happen in like November, December, right? So this happened, hit our locker room. Boys got sick out of nowhere, right? And I was talking to somebody about this. I was like, you know, when that happened, nobody really talked about it. Everybody was just saying, you know, the Broncos are fighting a bug, you know, in the locker room, you know, but no one was talking about it. But then, you know, you fast forward to, you know, if we do have a season this year, if something like that happens, automatically everyone says, oh, it's COVID. Oh, they need to shut that whole team down. Oh, they all need to be isolated. All of these things start crossing everybody's minds. But, you know, whatever hit our locker room then last year obviously was contagious because I got it. And then the person who sits next to me wound up getting it. And then the person who drives him home wound up getting it. You know, like all of these people, it just started hitting everybody. And I mean, at the time, obviously, no one was calling it COVID. It was just, there's a bug at the locker room. But then you look at the stuff that's going on, you're like, all right, if this happens again, then automatically everyone's going to say it's COVID and that this shouldn't be going on, that this shouldn't be working, that they shouldn't even be in the locker room, all of these things. So, you know, that's his own thing. That whole, the fear, not so much. I think, like I said, I think they'll do everything they're supposed to keep, do all the screening to keep the everyone involved as safe as possible.
Yeah, that's 100%. It's like, you just gotta to stay safe, really. Whenever everything opens up and starts up, you know, you just have to take precaution now. You know, everybody talks about going back to normal, but I think, you know, what people don't understand is it's going to be a new normal. Like, things that we've done before in the past that we could get away with is not going to happen anymore at all. But as we finish talking about, like, sports and stuff, my good friend that produces this show, Ras, he's a
I know where this is
huge,
going.
Huge.
yeah, I know where this is going.
He's a huge New York Jets fan. And they texted us. They texted us in a group chat earlier today asking us if we had questions. So I told him I had a very special question for him, which ironically happens to be your first career touchdown.
Touchdown, dang!
Could you please walk us through that moment? Please. Because that's like hitting your first home run in the big leagues.
Oh, facts. Oh, man, that's crazy. So, shoots, we were, I honestly thought I might have been able to get the ball that play, but I didn't know. Case wound up scrambling around, and I scored my first touchdown in MetLife. It was dope. Because they fans, that was the game that they had a running back. I think it was Crowell, maybe. But he ran for like 200 on us and smacked us in New York. But I got my touchdown, you know what I mean? And everybody keeps – the Broncos posted the picture of me, stiff-arming Jamal Adams, and everybody's been on me about it. Everybody's on me about it. Like, dang, Court, we got to post this joint. Court, when we play them boys, I need to see – y'all rallying up a dog over there. That boy, that's one thing I would say, Rod, is, hey, that boy Jamal Adams is a baller.
Trying to get some money, but you know, to everyone listening, Court is a tremendous football player. But if it ever comes a time where the NFL season some way or another happens to end before the home run derby, I'm extending an invite to you now to join my team. Not Lucius. You can't join this team. You have to join my team. To come and hit some home runs for us, because my team this past year did terrible. And I feel after watching you hit that one day, you would do a lot better.
You know, I'm going to help you out, bro. I'm going
to
come.
So I'm extending the invite to you right now. I'm not saying that to anyone in the NFL that he's going to sabotage the season or anything to come hitting the home run derby in the Bahamas. But if the opportunity ever presents itself, I'm extending the invite from now.
Well, I appreciate that from y'all boys, man. Y'all know if something winds up, a bye week or off something, and I can get down there,
We'd have to dress you up in a costume, bro. You'd have to do like a face makeover, like Uncle Drew or something. Give you like a fake alias, bro, because we don't need that bad publicity like OBJ did right before the playoffs. We don't need that for you. We need you to get into the bag. That's what we need. Get into the bag and win the championships. That's all we need.
I don't think that's bad publicity anymore, bro. We just watched the Jordan documentary and Dennis Rodman was taking vacation, bro.
At least before the finals, bro.
Right. You gotta say at least you gotta do something for charity, bro. They should have a heart.
Right. Man went to the whole WWE. That's just crazy. That's crazy. And the crazy thing about watching that documentary is everybody try to bring LeBron into it, the comparison. So, like, I feel that they need to stop trying to compare LeBron, Jordan, and Kobe and just build a Mount Rushmore. Like, I've seen some people come out, like, Paul Pierce come out of his top five. But, like, come on. How do you not have LeBron in your top five at all?
Bro, that's cap.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what's your top five be? Not in order, just your top five players in basketball. Yeah, after watching the Jordan documentary, because obviously we didn't grow up on Jordan. Tim and Ross did. So watching.
I'm trying to say we're old.
No. We're just really young. We're really young. That's all I'm saying. You guys are young, but we're really young.
Let me see. All right. I think
top five players that you've seen, not like based on statistics and wins and all that other people talk about. Yeah, your top five. Like, I have my top five and Lucius has the top five. What's your top five?
If I tell y'all boys going to be sick. It's because I think my top five will be anybody top five in a basketball game. Personally. All right. Here we go. All right. So we got Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Shaquille O'Neal. That's my top five.
Bro, that's not a bad five.
Tim, what's your top five?
Oh, man.
Since you've seen more basketball than us.
I mean, that group's fine. I think the only arguments you get, and me just being from New England, being from Boston, gotta think about getting some Celtics in there. So, like, Bill Russell instead of Shaq, just because Russell won, you know, all those rings. And then, you know, it's tough at forward. I want to say Larry Bird, but I can't because you're talking about LeBron and Durant, and I go with those guys. So maybe just Bill Russell instead of Shaq down low.
What about you, Lou?
Bro, that's actually a good one. I got Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. I don't know, bro. It's tough, bro, but that's tough. I don't know.
The last two spots, tough. Because you can –
That's tough,
center
bro.
Spot, heavy.
Yeah.
I'd say my top five would definitely be Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. I wouldn't even pick that. I would obviously Kevin Durant. I firmly believe Kevin Durant is from another planet. He's not as much of a leader as LeBron is in the sense of doing everything that LeBron does, but he is a very special player. And I would say my fifth player, y'all might disagree with me. I think my fifth player, the only reason I choose this player is because when you have someone that changes the dynamic of a sport forever, like you've seen Bolt did with track, I feel that you belong on Mount Rushmore. So I would say my fifth player would be Steph Curry. Not because he isn't a complete all-around player, but because the way he plays the game changed basketball forever. So it basically took away all the small fundamentals of basketball. So I feel that Steph Curry changed the game in a sense of where you don't really have to have players designed for players to score a lot of points. Like, Steph Curry just dribbles and shoots from anywhere he wants. And now you see it. Now you see everyone adding that to their game. If you're a center and can't shoot threes, you don't really play that much. Like, it's crazy. You have to be able to stretch the floor and get boards now. It's not just get boards and play physical defense like Shaq did. Like, Shaq would do very well in today's game, but his points, after you score 25 threes, his points doesn't matter. So it's like, I feel that my number five would be Steph Curry.
I'm the way you explained it, I like that. The way you explained, he changed the way the game was played in terms of his playing style. He's completely different than any point guard. Nobody's shooting the ball the way he shoots the ball. No one's having to get checked, you know, when they lock their car in the parking lot. You know what I mean? Nobody has to do that. Like, you gotta really check stuff as soon as he step onto the court. And, you know, I do think the way you phrased it, Steph is definitely gonna be somebody that they're gonna have to start putting in that conversation when you start talking about greatness, because I mean, he is going to go down as one of the greatest point guards. I mean, you have to. I mean, you can't.
He got the
that.
Champion. He got the championships too. You know, they always like to talk about championships. He got the rings,
right? And been with the same organization his whole time. Like, I mean, he doing it, he going about it his way. I think if he wasn't hurt last year, they obviously compete a little bit more. But him being hurt, I think it hurts them. You know what I mean?
It hurts them a lot because trying to defend that three opens up so much of their offense. Everything.
But now they're going to get the number one pick and just reload. Yeah.
You think they're going to get LaMelo?
Yeah, oh, that's interesting. Hey, he's not so a great nice. Fit. Well, I guess he could fit in there. I don't know.
He's so nice.
Yeah.
Splash Trio. Them boys nice. Hey, I follow that boy LaMelo. I watched this joint on Facebook, the Ball in the Family.
The Ball, bro, we love that.
That stuff like that, bro.
Like people think LeVar is crazy, but what people don't understand is he's a black father that's supporting his kids. Like, what father is not going to support their kids? It's just that he has a camera on him. Like, if I had a kid, I would think my kid is the best player in the world, even if he isn't. But I want my kid to know that I think so highly of you, and a lot of people just think he's crazy. He hasn't done one bad thing to really, like, make you say, wow, like, this guy is a fool. All he does is just talk highly of his sons. Although,
that's it.
Zoe might not be exactly what he speaks of him, but you can't blame him. If it wasn't for LaVar Ball, Lonzo Ball wouldn't be the second pick of the draft because his father convinced everyone that he was that good.
That you, hey, that's a great way to put it, bro. That's a great way to put it.
The checkout any the Nuggets? Yeah. You ever get the checkout any like Nuggets games?
Oh yeah, I got to go to a couple of them joints, and them boys are nice. The Nuggets are nice. They got like a nice, yeah, bro. They got a nice little arsenal there, you know, with Jokic in the middle, and them letting him facilitate the ball, however they want. They got shooters that make the shots they're supposed to make. They got selfless players. Them boys nice. They play defense. You know what I mean? They nice.
If they were in the Eastern Conference, it would be a breeze. That's why I think the NBA should make it the just top best teams in the NBA because the East is a joke compared to the West. Like, the NL is a joke compared to the AL in baseball. Like, you have AL teams with 90-plus wins that don't make the playoffs, which blows
crazy
my mind.
Crazy thing about. So who is y'all's, you know, besides, you know, clubs that y'all are on and have been on, who was y'all's favorite baseball team growing up watching? And favorite player?
Yankees. 100% Yankees.
So I had a phase where I just, like, at one point I was a big A-Rod fan, one point I was a big Jeter fan, and then one point I was a big Robinson Cano fan.
Robinson Cano, yes, sir! Yeah.
The whole Yankees infield, bro, nasty.
Nasty. With Mark Teixeira at first, I used to get so mad. Mark Teixeira used to get hurt all the time. I'd be ready to, oh, my gosh. Like, bro. Come on, Mark, bro. We needed one good season, bro, so we can win the World Series, bro.
Literally, no. I was a big Yankees and Derek Jeter fan as well. Like, grew up loving the Yankees. The only reason I started not liking the Yankees anymore is because I had this scout in high school. I won't call his name. But I played for his travel team. And I remember after one game sitting down, like, this was going into my senior year, going into the draft year. And he was telling me, he's like, he'd be sitting down in a restaurant, he's asking me, like, what schools were interested in me and stuff like that. And I remember this clear as day. And he was just basically telling me that, you know, I shouldn't take the draft and I should just go to school because I'm smart and that I won't go very far in baseball. And I just remember how much that affected me so much because this is the same guy that asked me to come play for his team. At the same time, he was a Yankees scout. So he basically was – what he was telling me, he was basically writing in the reports, and that's what he felt about me, which he is entitled to that opinion. But with him being a Yankees scout, that kind of, like, made me not like the Yankees anymore. I still love the Yankees, but that just, like – to this day, I still – like, I don't know, just it did something to me. And I think that's kind of why I'm where I am today.
Fuel to the fire, bro. Fuel to the fire.
100%. 100%.
It's a lot of people you got to prove wrong, bro. We all have doubters out there, bro. You know what I mean? I don't care who you are. You see LeBron James, bro. He got a lot of people that doubting him. So imagine us. You know what I'm saying? So we just use it as, bro, every time you work out, every time you step on the field, bro, I'm going to prove you all wrong. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Facts. It's crazy. I got a story for y'all, boys. It's kind of going off of your story. You made me think about it. So, and this is crazy. So in high school, one of my first scholarship offers was to Colorado University, CU. And, you know, I didn't know much about CU, you know. I knew they was the Buffs. I kind of had heard a little bit from other people about them boys, but I didn't know much. So fast forward to me and my mom getting to go up to an official visit my senior year. I had missed, they had like a big recruit visit. I missed it because we went to state in football my senior year. So I missed that visit. So they rescheduled. We get up there. We, you know, go through the whole visit. Sunday rolls around. My job had the scholarship from them boys for like a year and a half now. And I'm honestly like considering committing to them boys, like probably not that day, but I'm considering it. Me and my mom go in and sit down and have this talk with the head coach. And, you know, he's asking us how to visit, when and everything. We told him we loved him. We told him how much we loved the campus, you know, everything. And then he proceeds on to talk about, he tells us that they don't have my scholarship no more. Right. And so I'm like, what? I'm sitting there, I'm like, dang, like what happened? And so he starts explaining that they had this big recruit visit that came up and they brought a guy in my spot since I wasn't going to come. That guy wanted to commit, so they gave him my scholarship. Right. Right. And they didn't call me, tell me, not text, nothing. They didn't tell me anything. They did this before me and my mom came up there to see the visit. Right. And so dude talked to us about talking about what red shirt and gray shirt and like.
Did you ever get a chance to play them in college?
Nah, bro. I never got to.
I know you wish they showed up on the schedule.
I was praying I could come across anybody, a coach, a player, anybody, bro.
Well, that's, yeah, I man, mean, that's stuff like crazy. That's what shapes you into the player you are today. And I feel like, you know, a lot of athletes kind of take moments like those and take it as a sense as that's everything. That's the end right there. That's what one person said, that's the Bible. So I feel that a lot of athletes, young athletes especially, should never be discouraged by what someone says, whether you're an athlete or whatever profession you're in. You know, there's a lot of great success stories. Not a lot. Majority of the success story you started from someone telling you no, which is so crazy because now you look back at it. I wasn't very highly recruited in high school. I went to junior college. But I promise you, like, a lot of the schools that passed up on me then would wish they had me now, which I say that to say for everyone listening that, you know, you just have to continue to follow the dream, continue to, like Lucia said, ignore the noise and just push on through everything.
Bro, the thing is, you just got to believe in yourself, bro. And that goes with anything in life, bro, like football, basketball, baseball. If you don't believe that you belong, you ain't going to survive. You know what I'm saying, bro? You got to believe in yourself before anyone else believe in you, man. That's it.
Facts. That's heavy. That's heavy you say that. That's exactly what I was about to say. Shoot, believe in yourself at the end of the day, because it's plenty of people that's going to doubt you. It could be people that's next to you. You know what I mean? People you shake hands with every day. You never know. They could be doubting you. You know what I mean? So believing in yourself, believing that you can achieve any everything you set your mind to, that's huge. That's huge. That's power. Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, there's only one thing that follows when they introduces you by your first name is Todd Isaacs from Nassau, Bahamas. So you got to realize that what you do is, that's not just for you. That's for everyone behind you. And that's like you watch the Jordan documentary. The first thing they said is Michael Jordan from wherever he was from. LeBron James from Akron, Ohio. That's something that you don't just represent yourself. You represent. You represent everyone where you come from. You represent a town, a country, a nation, a city. So, you know, people, you just get a pride in it.
But, bro, really, bro, it's good having you, dog. Like, it's good to actually, like, see your face and, bro, talk to you, man. Todd talked a lot about you, bro, and just hearing your stories and stuff. Bro, we relate in so many things, and I didn't know all this about you. So I'm happy you shared this with us, bro, and, no, thank you for coming on and, you know, chopping it up with us, bro.
Man, I appreciate y'all, man, for having me. Like I said, this is a blessing to be. It's dope that y'all have a platform, too, that y'all can go in here and just talk life. You know what I mean? This is dope. I appreciate y'all having me on. And y'all know, Todd, you know, I'm already following you. Lou, you on the list,
yeah,
too.
Bro.
You
feel me? Yeah, we can meet soon, bro.
Facts. I'm wishing nothing but blessings on y'all boys, man. And stay steadfast in everything that y'all do, the work, the everything. Stay, you know, keep pushing, keep grinding. And, you know, everything, like we said, everything happened for a reason. And when it happened, it's going to be sweet. That it's going to be so sweet, bro. I'm telling you, man. But, Shoes, I appreciate y'all, man. You know, if y'all ever want to have me on again, I'm around, so.
Yep. 100%.
Whenever we can definitely make this happen again.
Hey,
can,
and so. And I think it. Let me look it up. It's October 18th.
Yeah, we coming
October,
to watch you.
October 18th, y'all play the Dolphins. We'll be there. 100%. We there. We are there.
Bro, I'm waking up at 8 a.m. I ain't missing anything, bro. We gonna be there, bro.
That's love, man. I appreciate it, man. But Shoes, I appreciate it, and y'all have a good rest of y'all night for sure.
Great stuff. Thanks so much, Cortland, for coming on. That's going to do it for this edition. As always, we're brought to you by the Don't Blink Home Run Derby. Go to dbhrderby.com for the latest on next year's Home Run Derby. You hear enough about it here, but check that out on the website as well. That's going to do it for this edition of the Paradise Vibes Only podcast. We'll be back with you before you know it. Thanks for joining us.
Paradise Vibes Only. Paradise Vibes Only.